beaming into your mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Vrilok, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Yes, welcome to my show. Tonight's podcast is the Vrilok Collector's Edition. The year was 1980 when I was a child preparing for a journey from America to Saudi Arabia. I was told that I would attend an international school with children from all over the world. Of course, I was rather timid about this adventure, going overseas and leaving my homeland. I remember asking my grandmother if I could just stay at her house while my parents live in Riyadh. However, I had this epiphany while watching the sunset from aloft and looking out over the greenbelt at my grandparents' home in California. The scenery shifted in my mind's eye to a vast stretch of desert and invisible realms, haunting at the threshold upon mirages on the distant horizon. It was as if the sun had reached out to brand a series of visions upon my brow and fill my little heart with the courage to venture forth. So I ran back into my grandmother's home to tell her my decision. I found my grandmother and my mother arguing, and I interrupted to tell them that I had decided I would go to Arabia with my family. Well, my stepfather was already there ahead of us on business, and of course, getting things arranged for our reunion with him in a city compound in Riyadh. This is the beginning of my journey abroad. I was only 6, and as I made a transition between countries, so also did the spirit world move in parallel to my journey. But it is at the crossroads where these two streams of consciousness join that the magic begins to reveal itself, and a whole world of the invisible steps out from beyond the veil. I'm going to tell you why my books include these paranormal and personal experiences alongside the methods of magic and psionics in tonight's next exciting episode of Planet Vrilok. So without further ado, let us begin. I think one of the real benefits of attending an international school at such a young age is the exposure to many cultures, a change of the rules by which one lives by, and of course the endless wonder of life's mysteries in a whole new setting, but under the same sun that we all set our clocks by. Truly it is a gift. At first, it did not seem entirely so. There were, of course, challenges, cultural differences, new kinds of wildlife to be cautious of, new predators, and living standards were entirely different from what I was ordinarily used to. However, my little brother and I never complained. We were well-behaved children under a roof with our loving parents. My stepfather had some great hobbies, such as tennis and sports of all kinds. He was also skilled as a small craft pilot. My stepfather, who I referred to as Dad because he was the only Dad I knew, was incredibly skilled in putting together computers, and from scratch. So I, being incredibly prone to taking apart the home phone with Dad's screwdriver set, well, I tended to watch over my dad's children and marvel at his skill of putting together circuit boards and computers. My mother was adventurous, perhaps more so than my father. Many of the places we visited, both in Arabia and in other countries, was possible because my mother pushed to get us out of the house and explore the world. She also wanted for us to be exposed to the world and to take full advantage of these opportunities which were presented to us. So we climbed camel trails up in the mountain of Hafuf, and we went on long treks through the desert with guides and friends or co-workers. My father worked for one company for a while. I believe it was for Sizerex. I'm not quite sure. but he was brought into a bigger company, making a serious career transition while living abroad, a marvel of a feat. And so our living conditions improved rather impressively and quickly. In the beginning, our residence in Riyadh, we lived in one of the floors of a downtown building. Not even a year later, and we were moved to a compound with multiple houses or townhomes, which came with nice provisions, good bathrooms, extra living space, and outdoor recreational areas. There was even a front yard garden, which is rather the style of Arabia, whereas most of us Americans have our gardens more likely in the backyard. It was altogether very beautiful weather, quite hot, and often with a cool breeze, save for when we had these colossal sandstorms. So I found my life abroad to be mostly pleasant, save for some problems at school, which is, as a matter of course, to be expected in childhood in any part of the world. But where the supernatural or paranormal entered into my clear and definitive existence, independent of my imagination, was at first in the open desert, and later by my explorations of some underground caverns and abandoned mining or construction projects. I would soon discover a variety of entities which inhabited the desert and the dark places underground, which I had prior to believed to be entirely made up from the works of fiction and the monsters which climbed out of children's books and fairy tales. But indeed there are monsters, at least in this invisible realm. What is important is that some of these entities are able to breach into our reality, and not all of them are entirely friendly to children. Many years after my return to America and having graduated high school, and with some years in and out of college, I happened to meet a very exceptional woman who I married. Together we moved to Japan, and it was a rather good learning experience for which I am humble and honored to have gone on this adventure with the aid of very patient and good members of the community. What happened for me in Japan was a series of trials in the supernatural encounters which followed me from country to country, from residence to residence, and throughout many of my years growing into adulthood and for quite some time thereafter. These experiences, while some very challenging and downright disturbing, and in some encounters of what I would say was lethal or deathly perilous, I have written of these stories, including my experiences of the paranormal in America, Saudi Arabia, and ancient Japan, as well as what I have gathered and learned. This knowledge, and perhaps some wisdom, I might impart to my readers, and it is my contribution to the world of magic and exceptional pursuits of compiling life experiences into a collection of literature for which I hope you will find invaluable. What my books do for my readers is give my reading audience a chance to reflect upon my experiences, my perceptions, and my reasoning, or lack thereof in some cases, and as well there is ample opportunity to develop one's own path-working methods based upon my descriptions of these journeys, sensory retrospect, and descriptions of entities that I had encountered. Plus, each of my books presents the reader with basic meditation exercises, and then a simple-to-build instrument from materials often found lying around the house, or which can be purchased for a reasonably low cost at one's local Walmart or an arts and crafts store like Hobby Lobby or Michaels. Well, I love shopping at Michaels and Hobby Lobby, by the way. Always a good place to bring your lady friends, your girlfriend, your wife, or, you know, even take your old mom to Hobby Lobby and let her have a good old time. And at the same time, you can get your shopping done for the psionics crafting that you need. In any event, my books are designed to help my readers develop psionics on various levels. Begin the journey with my first book, The Metaphysics of Self-Mastery, wherein I disclose my displeasure with early preschool life and the realization of institutionalizing people to be controllable members of society. We work on our solar plexus chakra, which is the energy center for our personal willpower, also called our power belt. And then in my second VPG book called The Miraculous Prayer Board Guide, I take readers on a journey into the heart chakra, also called the Gateway of the Winds, and we learn how to work with miracles and psychometric infusion, that is, touch energy, in a balanced and sacred geometry. In my third book, and final volume of the Vrilok Practical Guides, this book, The Wondrous Wheel, is the ultimate volume of my journey into the magical mind, and I even tell my readers of my discovery of the all-elusive psychopa. That's a parapsychological term referring to active psychic abilities, or in some schools of thought, we simply refer to this area of psionics as psychokinesis, kinetics, and micropsychokinesis. That's PK for short. These three books are collector's items, finely illustrated. I don't know how long I will have these books in stock. I really don't. But if you order your book now, you will receive your collector's edition of the Vrilok Practical Guide, Volume 1, 2, and 3, in a week or two, at the most. Some readers, if purchased late, will roll into pre-orders. So I recommend that you make your purchase today or tomorrow, as these books tend to get sold out very quickly. You never know that something from my life journey or of my psionics knowledge may improve your life or even help you make a discovery which had previously been eluding your mind from the next thread in a yarn of ideas, or yield new insights for your personal research. Each volume also includes bonus comic strips in the back of the book for your enjoyment and for your collection. I hope you will support my work by making a purchase of the Collector's Edition Vrilok Practical Guides paperbacks. They're hot. Now the journey is yours. Read the books, practice some simple exercises, and then you own the spiritual journey. Thank you for joining me on Planet Vrilok tonight, and until next time, as always, always keep the magic high. This is Tom Vrilok, signing out.